We're looking at the inner workings of corporate social responsibility and responses to racial injustice as millions of people in America have taken to the streets to protest police brutality and racism. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Executives at major corporations, they've pledged to create a more diverse and inclusive environment for employees and customers. Here's the last line of a letter to Kohl's customers last month. It's written by CEO Michelle Goss. "To all of our Black associates and customers, and to the Black community, Kohl's stands by you." But what does that really mean? What does that cause? Have you made a decision to stop or start supporting a particular brand or service based on the company's ethics and values? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Neeru Paharia is an associate professor of marketing at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. She studies consumer behavior, branding, and decision-making. Neeru, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, high-level overview first. In the Zoom boardrooms and at, you know, the at-home C-suites, if you will, how do you see companies wrestling now with their legacies and their past decisions and their origin stories in the wake of these protests and the Black Lives Movement?
Yeah, it's really difficult because, I mean, you're talking about their origin stories and their histories in terms of their policies in the past and the brands that are you talking more like the Aunt Jemima kind of phenomenon?
Or? That and, you know, everything from the subways to the, you know, the large corporations, the small corporations and everything in between. They're all trying to figure out, you know, where do we go from here?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting moment in history because I think for a long time, I mean, there's always been consumer activism. But it has grown tremendously. So I think in the past, people would express their political views as citizens. So you would go vote, you would participate in civic activities, maybe you would go protest. But now there's this really strong expectation that companies align with one's political views. So people feel like they can express, you know, instead of voting in the voting booth, you can vote with your dollar and either boycott or boycott a brand. And for consumers, that's very powerful. I mean, you can think about how when you go into a voting booth, it just kind of, your vote goes into the ether. You don't really know what happens. But when you vote with your dollar, you're kind of sticking it to a company or supporting a company. It's very tangible. Like you see your cup of coffee or whatever it is, whatever type of company that you're supporting or opposing. So I think it is this phenomenon where consumers want to increasingly express their political views in the marketplace has sort of taken companies off guard. You know, what do you do now? First, we were a commercial organization. And that's how people made decisions, you know, based on quality and price. Now people are taking into account all this other stuff. And so what do you do? And so there it gets very complicated. I mean, it depends on so many different factors. And I think one of the things you mentioned about Kohl's, there is a strong view around authenticity. So is this action that this company doing, is it seen as authentic? Is it seen as profit driven? Or is it seen as, wow, they really care, they're willing to stick their neck out? So one example there I can think of, you know, when Dick's Sporting Goods, when the CEO made pretty strong statements and actually policy changes about guns after the Parkland shooting. And many would argue, you know, those policies and the new guidelines around how, you know, selling guns in their stores, that actually theoretically should have hurt their business, right? They're actually doing something that could hurt themselves. But for this kind of politically motivated reason, like the CEO really believed in what he was doing. I the interview with him, you know, mentioned that he cried after the Parkland shooting, and then he really kind of rethought all his, you know, business practices. And so, you know, I think the question is it authentic? And I think that comes up a lot. You can also see it with the Colin Kaepernick, the Colin Kaepernick campaign by Nike. I think that also, you know, people on both sides were wondering, is this authentic? You know, one could maybe say, wow, they're the first company to really stick their neck out. I mean, they really supported a very controversial character. And that did, you know, on Twitter, you know, all these conservative people were burning shoes and burning Nike shoes. So it did seem authentic. And then others would say, well, they're looking at their market, their target demographic, and they do tend to be younger, more progressive. So this was a calculated move. So I think that is really important, whether the action is seen as authentic. And one of the things I think also that comes up around this is are you the first person to do this? Are you just like one of many companies to do this?
Right.
So
if
you're the first company to stick your neck out, you know, that is seen as authentic. But if you're just, you know, you're just one of many, then it's seen as less authentic. But then at the same time, you get into this situation where if everybody is doing it, then you look weird if you don't say anything. So it's almost like no matter what you do, you're sort of, you might get kind of criticized for it.
We're talking with Neeru Paharia, a researcher at Georgetown studying consumer behavior, branding, decision making. We're exploring how companies take on ethical and moral issues and then the response by consumers. With your insights along the way, 800-642-1234. Neeru, I was looking at that Instagram account of the silent brands, the companies that have not made statements regarding racism and injustice. And I'm wondering how social media plays into this about how brands are perceived.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amplified this whole phenomenon. I mean, I think it's accelerated and amplified this phenomenon because before, you know, where would you maybe you would put it on your website, but where would you announce these kinds of things? And now everything is so public. Every company has a mouthpiece, direct to consumer mouthpiece, that they can talk about their political views. And so then the consumer also has a mouthpiece where they can comment on these things and sort of decide whether they think this is good or bad. And we know in social media, there's a lot of criticism and people calling each other out on various things. So I think social media has only amplified the phenomenon. And you know, I think consumers also, you know, consumers very much, I think more so than in the past, political orientation and our political views has become an identity. So in the past, you might have like a political view, but it wasn't so much an identity, a belief about who you are. But now I think just as things have become more polarized, it's like, are you a liberal or are you a conservative? And so so that people really want to express their identity, and that is something we often turn to products for.
We're looking at corporate ethics, how brands are addressing social justice issues. Neeru Paharia is an associate professor of marketing at Georgetown University. What was the last product you bought? How much did you know about the company? Did you care to know where they stood on certain issues? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment, more conversation about corporate ethics here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're looking at corporate social responsibility and the responses to racial injustice. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Black Lives Matter protests are causing some companies to rename brands, to review their inclusion strategies. The death of George Floyd and other Black Americans has caused a wave of statements from CEOs and business leaders expressing solidarity and a commitment to address the problem of systemic racism. But how? And will consumers take note? Will they respond with their purchasing power? How do you feel about companies advocating for social justice causes? Do you seek out brands that make you think more closely, reflecting your morals? Join in 800-642-1234. Georgetown marketing professor Neeru Paharia is our guide. Neeru, we heard from John in Beaver Dam, called in and couldn't stay with us, but noted that Patagonia has seemed to pay attention to environmental issues for quite a while, and he wants to know what you think of Patagonia's efforts.
Yeah, I mean, Patagonia is very authentic. I mean, if you think about I think it's like Don't Buy This campaign. I can't remember what it's called, but they have a campaign where they want people to repair their Patagonia products rather than buying new ones. So again, you can kind of see that's like that feeds into this idea that it's authentic. It seems like they're not being driven by profit, because if that was the case, they would be, you know, asking you to buy new Patagonia products all the time. But they're really focusing on the reuse, recycle, repair. I think also with the Facebook boycott, they were one of the first companies to sign on to that. Around the hate and the bigotry and all the kinds of advertisements that Facebook has been criticized for allowing on their platform. So I think in general they've really been, I think, a leader about how to do this right, because they have been so authentic. But I think that emerges from their ethos as a company. They've always been a very values-driven company. So this is sort of a natural move for them, where I think some other companies maybe, I think, are more traditional in terms of their profit motivation, conventional in that sense.
Let's turn to the pandemic and the response companies have made in this debate over how to get their products out there. What have you noticed about the way companies have marketed their products or services amid stay-at-home orders, amid, you know, mask mandates?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, I noticed there were a lot of commercials on TV talking about how we're all in this together, and you know, they're here for us. And I found that to be quite inauthentic. I don't know how other people how these kinds of ads are received. I mean, I think you do have to acknowledge the situation we're in, but sometimes these kind of statements, they fall flat. You know, we're in this together. Like Bank of America, are we really in this together? I mean, you know, I just didn't feel it. Like Bank of America, you're in this with me. So again, it's kind of the authenticity thing, you know, is this really authentic? Whereas there was a really funny Burger King commercial where they were encouraging people to stay home. But it was done with such humor.
Let's hear it. Yeah, let's take a listen.
Your country needs you to stay on your couch and order in. Do your part, and we'll do ours. Order through the Burger King app, and the delivery fees are on us. So staying home doesn't just make us all safer. It makes you a couch patriot.
A couch patriot?
Yes. Yeah, I thought that was brilliant, actually. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic seeing that commercial and thinking, this is so much better than all these other commercials telling me that we're in this together, and, you know, all this like sappy sentimental piano music. I think it was just, maybe they just didn't know what to do in that moment. It's such a unique, it's been such a unique situation, but
do we have any knowledge about how these advertisements work on consumers, and you know, whether they pay off for the company?
Yeah, I mean the coronavirus situation, I don't think there's any data in that context. In terms of just general kind of politically motivated advertising, like we're the, even with the Black Lives Matter, I mean the evidence that we have is that it can help you and it can hurt you. So it really just depends, you know, how authentic it is. It depends on who your customer base is. It depends if you're a small company, if you're a large company. I mean, I think the authenticity piece is big. I mean, when all the companies are making ads and they're all saying like, we stand with the Black Lives Matter movement, and they, you know, many of them won't even say that. You know, they'll say something a bit more vague. Then, you know, it kind of loses its meaning, right? Everybody's saying it, and it's really not a strong statement. You know, how do you put your money where your mouth is? Like, what kinds of policies are you actually putting into action that address this political issue? So I think, you know, and I think Nike recently got into some, there were some criticism around, you know, who their executives are. Are they Caucasian? Are they African American? What is the distribution there? So, you know, who's reaping the profits from, you know, publicly saying they support this movement? So I think the authenticity thing is real, and I think social media makes it really easy to call out inauthenticity, whereas before I don't think that was necessarily the
Spot, like
case.
spot it where you see it kind of thing.
Yeah, and then somebody tweets and then everybody's like, "Oh yeah, isn't that ironic that all the executives are white?" And then they're actually kind of going on and on about this one issue,
We're talking,
profiting from it.
we're talking with Neeru Paharia, an associate professor of marketing at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. We're exploring how companies take on ethical and moral issues and the response by their customers. With your thoughts as well, which brands do you feel represent your political views? What signals show you that they have the same views as you do? Does this make you support them more? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Neeru, we laughed at the Burger King ad, and the pandemic, COVID-19, is nothing to laugh at. How do companies approach humor amid a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I think humor is like, it's sort of like a way to relieve the tension. You know, everybody's so stressed out. If you can kind of joke about something, you know, and obviously not in an irreverent way, but in a respectful way, then I think it really kind of makes people feel better. You know, you're like, oh yeah, this is terrible. Let's just joke about it. It's kind of a way to for us to collectively kind of feel like actually feel like we're all in this together and kind of get some relief from it. So I think the humor angle is helpful.
As I'm out there online, I've noticed a little bit of website images of mask wearing in the advertising, the pop-up advertising I'm seeing where I go on sites, but not a lot. I wonder how companies are approaching the images of masks.
Yeah, the whole mask issue is so bewildering. It is quite astounding that mask wearing, a public health issue, was able to be turned into a political statement. I still am just in disbelief. You know, this isn't a political issue. It's a public health issue. You know, I think if you want to say, for example, I have the right to not wear a mask, then I also have a right to walk around and not wear any clothes. I don't need to wear pants, right? Like there, it just doesn't, it's not a political issue. It's, you know, there are certain things that we all do in this society. So I think most of the companies, if in their own self-interest, you know, might take a stand on wearing masks because Because it is in the best interest of everybody. It is in the best interest of getting the economy back online. It's in the best interest of the frontline workers at the hospitals. It is in the best interest of everybody. Well, so
on a practical level, I mean, I would imagine marketing departments are saying, okay, where do we find the stock photography of mask wearing?
Yeah.
To switch out our images.
Right. And they are. I mean, I've seen some commercials with like the Amex commercial with it's like small is good. And they have people wearing masks. And yeah. I think on TV, I've seen quite a few where, you know, people are wearing masks, but, you know, maybe it's also just sort of makes people feel a little stressed out. They want to forget about that when they're seeing ads.
We're talking with Georgetown University's Neeru Paharia, our guide on corporate consciousness and consumerism and what she's observing now. She researches consumer behavior. Did you make a decision to stop supporting a particular brand or service? Why is that? Did it have anything to do with how they branded themselves and their ethics? Be part of this 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up, maybe hear from you after a news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we look at the Black Lives Matter movement in retail brands, how corporations are addressing inequities, and what consumers think. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ad Age is tracking responses from brands, media companies, and ad agencies. They reported Nike was quick to release a spot with a twist on their long-used tagline, "For once, don't do it." Atlanta is the hometown of Sprite, owner of Coca-Cola. Their ad starts this way.
The American dream. It wasn't made for everybody. It forgot about one very important detail. Black America. It's why this land of equal opportunity was built on the backs and genius of black people.
Should corporations take a stance on social justice issues? Should they speak out or stay silent? 800-642-1234. We have Georgetown marketing professor Neeru Paharia, who stays with us. Neeru, I've been watching those ads come out, and some of them are just, you know, the images really, really grab you, and they really make you think. What do you make of some of these visual advertisements?
Yeah, are you
in the Sprite
to,
ad?
Any in particular?
The Sprite ad, yeah.
Oh, okay. Again, it's kind of this, are we trying to be authentic and emotional about what we're doing? And if these political issues tend to be very emotional for people, right? They're not like, am I going to buy Coke because it's cheaper or because I like the way it tastes? It's really kind of tapping into this emotional feeling about the brand. So I think the if you want people to make purchases based on emotion, then you really do need to kind of dive into that, you know, head first, and then you might see some movement there. I will say something else that I think is interesting. I do think that there's an interesting interaction between companies taking political positions and then basic consumer sentiment on that particular issue. Like, you can actually see that when companies take stands on these issues, they might also influence how people feel about that issue. Mm-hmm. So I think one example here, gay marriage, you know, and as more and more companies started, you know, taking positions on that, I feel like that actually changed how people felt about it. It actually became more accepted. You know, it's an interesting phenomenon where companies can take leadership. If they take leadership on some of these political issues, they might be driving change in public opinion to some extent. So maybe that, you know, maybe we'll see that happening here too, as more and more companies take the Black Lives Matter movement more seriously. You know, public opinion on some of these issues could also evolve. They're considered to be an authority. You know, they're authority figures. When these large companies with lots of money take these positions. And I think that does influence how people think about these things.
Seth from Superior called in, couldn't stay with us. And Seth notes that Ivanka Trump recently visited Duluth Pack, which is an outdoor retail. And many people in the area, protesters, Seth said that this company is supporting a copper sulfide mine in the Boundary Waters. And I'm looking at one of the protesters talked with WDIO TV and said, I think it is very disingenuous of a store that promotes packs to use in the wilderness and relies on a pristine wilderness for its business. It's supporting an administration which has done everything in its power to basically sell out the edge of our wilderness, end quote. And that was from protester Jen Pearson to WDIO. What do you make of that there about when it involves a company's product and then they have the Trump administration or Ivanka Trump coming in to their store? How do you negotiate that?
I'm sorry, what was the company and what do they do?
Duluth Pack, which is a company that sells outdoor gear, and especially in the Boundary Waters area, it is a store that sells packs.
Oh, like backpacks.
Got it.
Yeah. So their business is very much reliant on the preservation of the environment, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay. And yet at the same time, Ivanka Trump came and visited them and they welcomed her.
Yeah. So there are those issues as well. And, issues around a sulfide mine opening up near the Boundary Waters area. And that, too, brought in protesters to Duluth Pack because it was swept into this situation around the mine.
I see. And are they taking a position on the mine?
It's hard to say, but the protesters were outside of Duluth Pack as Ivanka Trump had visited the store, as I'm seeing it here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, there's a lot of things to consider there. So your business is really about preserving the environment, then, you know, and your customers are of that mindset, then associating yourself with some political entity that's completely on the other side is clearly not a good idea. I mean, if 90% of your customers are pro-environment, and then you associate yourself with the most, you know, contentious organization, you know, political administration, you know, for as long as anyone can remember, you know, that's probably not a great, but it seems like it was maybe not well thought out, or maybe they didn't realize how that might, the optics of that.
What about the optics around the Goya Foods, the brand popular in Hispanic households? What have you seen there?
Yeah, I mean, kind of exactly the same thing. It's like, you know, marketing rule number one, like, know your customers. You know, you may personally have some political views. The CEO, I believe, is also a Republican. But, you know, who are your customers? And I think maybe some of these companies underestimate how important these things have become, perhaps because we have a very polarizing administration, perhaps because of social media, perhaps because people are just more interested in expressing their political views through their consumption. But anything like that can just be totally blown up. I mean, I think what happened with SoulCycle, where one of the investors, owner or investor, hosted a dinner for Donald Trump. You know, it wasn't even the brand SoulCycle taking on a position. It was one of the investors or owners, not even publicly taking a position, but just hosting a fundraising dinner. And so that got totally blown up. That got on, you know, that went around social media. And as you probably no, SoulCycle is a very kind of urban, liberal, young phenomenon. It's not necessarily a demographic of people who are likely to be voting for Donald Trump. So in that case, they, you know, that totally took them off guard. because it wasn't even the brand who was professing anything. It was literally, you know, some investor. I think maybe companies are hoping, I hope are learning that it's not just what the brand does officially what matters. That's not the only thing that matters. It's what the people who are associated with the company, the executives, the owners, what are they doing? And even if they're not taking any official stance, in the name of the company, they're just doing things on their own, in their own name. People still will, on social media, will make that connection. And then it just feels like it's the brand that's doing it.
We're talking with Neeru Paharia, an associate professor of marketing at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. You can join in with your thoughts on brands and services and how companies take on social justice issues. 800-642-1234. Neeru, how effective are boycotts when it comes to impacting a particular brand or a company? Do boycotts work?
It depends, you know, it kind of depends like how much steam they get. You know, I think they can work. I mean, it depends what your goal is. Is your goal to get the company to change their policies? Is your goal to put them out of business? You know, what is your goal to hurt them in some way? So I do think they can help, but you're also, you know, when you take a polarizing position, you are going to get some people who boycott you and then some people who boycott you. So a lot of people went and bought a bunch of Goya beans and started, you know, sharing pictures of them eating beans. So you can find, you know, these things, that the activism can happen on both sides. And so sometimes that cancels each other out. It depends on a variety of different factors, whether in the end you end up net positive or net negative.
Quaker Oats decided to retire Aunt Jemima, the brand and the logo, and acknowledged its origins are based on a racial stereotype. What kind of effect might that decision have on a company?
It kind of brings up one question. I think it's almost like a lose-lose situation, because once you change, I think one of the questions that comes up is, why didn't you change for the last, for the last however many years? Why did you allow this kind of, you know, perhaps offensive
to fester
logo? Yeah, exactly. Like the Redskins, you know, that also just like so for so many years, people have been protesting that. And finally, now they're doing it. So you're just like, why? What took you so long?
Georgetown University's Neeru Paharia is our guide on corporate consciousness and consumerism, what she's observing in her research. What questions do you have about corporate messaging? How do you feel about companies advocating for justice causes or taking a stance? Do you appreciate brands that align with your views? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation now about social consciousness and how brands are responding to the Black Lives Matter movement. Neeru Paharia is an associate professor of marketing at Georgetown University, where she studies what she calls consumer political consumption, attempting to understand when consumers are likely to wield their buying power to express political views and enact social change. And she stays with us for 10 more minutes. Neeru, we heard from Mark and Kimberly, who called in to note that the Rainforest Action Network has been very successful at shaming companies and organizing boycotts. And Mark points, one example is getting cosmetic companies to ethically source palm oil, which is a leading cause of deforestation in Indonesia. What have you seen out of the Rainforest Action Network?
I don't know too much about them, but that's great. I mean, it's great to see, you know, actual organizations having a impact on what companies do.
Johnson Controls International is a multinational conglomerate that produces fire HVAC security equipment for buildings. Has its corporate offices in Milwaukee. It did release a statement.
We can't breathe while any one of us cries out, I can't breathe.
But.
We can stand together.
We can listen.
We can open our hearts and minds.
And I think this goes back to authenticity question that you've been talking about and what is genuine. How, when you hear those words, what do you think of a company putting this together?
Yeah, I thought that particular example is really interesting because it's not really a consumer-facing company. You're selling to HVACs to buildings, right? You're not necessarily even a company that consumers know about.
Business to business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're business to business. So then what is the reason for doing something like that? I mean, it could just be that they really believe it, you know, like some companies like Patagonia are just very authentic, like Dick's Sporting Goods with the Parkland shooting. It's driven by some feeling of authenticity. It could be to motivate the employees. There are various reasons, but I don't see that they have anything to gain from it, at least from the consumer market. So it seems like it seems a bit more authentic in that sense.
Could it come from internally though, that the employees want to see their company act?
Yeah, and I think this is a big issue. You know, companies are not only marketing to consumers; they're marketing to their employees, right? What is going to keep your employees motivated? And I know Facebook was having some trouble with this as well, because of their advertising policies and some of the divisive content that gets posted on there. That the employees were getting upset about it. And you know, especially in an industry where human capital is scarce, as it is in technology, it is something that you have, it's part of the calculation.
So how can you measure the concrete steps or keep track of what a company is doing when it says it's going to do things on changing and its diversity and inclusion goals? Do consumers keep up with that, or how do they know that a company is changing inwardly for the better?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is where social media has really helped with that, because now there are people who will monitor companies and make public what they have done, what they haven't done. And so for the everyday consumer, you know, you may not have the time or the resources or the energy to be, you know, figuring out what Nike's doing with their executive team. But there are people on the internet and out there who are willing to do that, and they are willing to get that information out there. Then, you know, if it's interesting enough, it gets picked up by the conventional news and then people hear about it. So there are eyes watching companies, whereas before there weren't. And now it's much easier to kind of get that information disseminated to the everyday consumer.
One of those audiences is Wall Street. When Wall Street is watching and what happens to stock prices, what do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, I think after the Colin Kaepernick campaign, the stock price went up. It went down first and then it went up. I think their analysts are thinking about all these things too, right? What you know, with the ultimate metric being what is the bottom line? So are these things going to hurt or help? And so I think they're considering all these things. You know, if you take a political position, is that going to help you as a company, or is it going to hurt you as a company? I don't know that they have any kind of moral view of this, but they're also trying to understand how consumers are going to react, and is that going to help or hurt?
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Neeru Paharia. She's an associate professor of marketing at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. And we're looking at brands and how they are tackling social justice issues or not, brands that have stayed silent. Still time for your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Anne in Madison writes to us, says that the Sprite Dreams Realize commercial seems pretty inauthentic to Anne because it only aired on BET. Maybe I'll change my mind if they broadcast it to a wider audience, Anne says.
Oh, that reminds me of the Dove Real Beauty campaign. So, you remember the Dove Real Beauty
yes.
campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
we
all
talked
about women. Mm-hmm. Yeah, women and empowering women and really, you know, really feeling like you're beautiful and not getting caught up in the whole beauty stereotype. At the same time, Unilever, who owns Dove, also owns Axe. And I don't know if you've seen the Axe commercials, but there's a guy on the beach and 100 beautiful, you know, women, he sprays Axe on him and the women are just like running out of the jungle, you know, but very stereotypical, you know, stereotypical beauty, all are all over this guy because he's using this deodorant. So, you know, you can, some of these companies have to be really careful because if you just put one message out to one group of people and everyone says, oh yeah, that's great. Real beauty, Dove, you know, they're taking a stand on this. But on the other side, you're saying, hey, like if you use this deodorant, all these hot women are going to come jump on you. It's sort of a, you know, it's not a consistent message. So I think that's a good point, you know, and again, if that gets called out that this commercial was only on BET, then it's going to get picked up. You know, people are going to notice that and say, that's pretty ironic. Like, why don't you put that on, you know, the History Channel or something like that.
So as we start to wrap up here, what are you watching for out of corporate America as these protests continue to go across the country and the Black Lives Matter movement becomes more of a forefront issue for many people?
Yeah, I mean, what am I looking for in terms mm-hmm. of activism? And I think one of the most interesting thing that's happened around the Black Lives Matter movement is the protest, the companies protesting on the Facebook boycott. So all these companies have pulled their advertisements, at least for the month of July, on Facebook because they don't like Facebook's advertising policy. They're not doing enough to stop this kind of hateful content on their platform. I mean, I thought that was really bold. Companies trying to hold other companies accountable, that's like a whole other level of activism. So I thought that was really interesting how that happened. But I think there's just going to be more hope, you know, there's going to be more activity around corporate policy, around employment, around, you know, these logos and these names like the Redskins. I think that's just, you know, there's a bit of momentum here. And so I think that's just going to continue.
Neeru, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Neeru Paharia is an associate professor of marketing at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business, where she studies consumer behavior, branding, and decision making. Just ahead, it is On Point. $600 unemployment checks are about to stop. Congressional Republicans have put forward a stimulus plan. On Point discusses what is coming. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.